All right. Well, saints, I'm going to share something with you here. It's the Lord's been telling us, as you know, how He wants us to pray and what He wants us to command and how He wants to send out the angels to do a work. And I'm sure He's telling us something here, and I'd like to share it with you. I don't know the fullness of it yet, but I believe it's time to pray. I'm going to entitle this, Pray Against the Banksters and Their Economic Crash. I felt the Lord wanted us to believe for another miracle for Cyrus and the U.S. We received three dreams in 3 days to warn us to put down the economic criminals or they would bring down our economy. Many economists are excited about what Trump is doing, but warn that he will not be able to save the economy. Some say the banksters can bring it down. And, you know, our God rules and reigns. It's not up to them. It's up to the Lord. And it's not the Russians either. We can believe for miracles, can't we? We must be willing to be His vessels to show the world this. And I just want you to consider what I say here, pray about it, and pray for wisdom and direction for us concerning this. But just as the Lord ordained us to get the criminals out of the government, He is telling us to get the criminals out of the economy. And He's been doing it. First thing I want to tell you is Cyrus, as a type of Trump, is successful, according to all prophetic words that we've received. The Lord turned around the planned destruction of America and its Christians and its economy by the past administration because God's people prayed and took authority. And God, who authorized the edict of Haman to destroy, and then turned it around because the bride pleaded with the King of Kings, will have His Purim. He will have His Passover. The God who sent Cyrus to overthrow the Babylonian king and brought prosperity to that kingdom will ultimately win by another miracle if we believe and exercise authority. I don't doubt a crumbling of the old system. It has to be crumbled. But during this revival, God will judge apostasy in Christianity and bring repentance. God's also a God of resurrection. Economists are saying that Trump will not save the economy. But I remind you that the experts believed Hillary was going in there. And I remind you that when the election was going very badly and God's people prayed, He turned it upside down. And so what the evil and the devil has done has been flipped by God. Let's just look at a few scriptures here. Isaiah 44 and 24, and I'm going to read on down through 45 somewhat, chapter 45 somewhat. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and He that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth. And who is with me? In other words, who is He sharing this authority with? Well, it certainly isn't the world, and it certainly isn't the banksters, and it certainly isn't, the past administration. That frustrateth the signs of the liars, and maketh diviners mad. That turneth wise men backward, and maketh their knowledge foolish. That confirmeth the word of His servant, and performeth the counsel of his messengers. So it's obvious, you know, that the Lord changed when God's people cried out, when a bride cried out, he changed his mind. Although he knew he would do it for the foundation of the world, okay? But he is performing the counsel of his messengers. And that saith of Jerusalem, she shall be inhabited. And, of course, we've been preaching this for a while, is that Jerusalem and the temple is going to begin being built. The revived kingdom is coming in a spiritual way, not in a physical way like in the Old Testament. She shall be inhabited in the cities of Judah. They shall be built. And I will raise up the waste places thereof. Well, does that sound like an irreversible total economic crash right there? I don't know. I don't think so. The third seal in the tribulation will bring an economic and agricultural judgment upon the world. Okay? That's not to say it's going to be on the whole world. And it's not to say that it is at the door. Okay? Verse 27 says, that saith to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up thy rivers. That saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure. So it's really not Cyrus that we need to give any credit to, it's the Lord, right? Because he's just performing all of the Lord's pleasure. And the Lord tells us, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. So, even saying of Jerusalem, she shall be built, and of the temple thy foundation shall be laid. Well, the temple and kingdom is built with converts, of which there will be many, from all nations, when they see what prayer will do. They know their gods do not answer, and they thought ours couldn't either. Okay? But people are sitting up and taking notice because of the things that God is doing. In 45:1, the next verse, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him. Now, we see from the Bible codes that it's very clear in this verse, as a matter of fact, Isaiah 45:1, there is a word there underneath the text in the skip sequence about Trump becoming president. So, interesting that he should put it right there. I think it's a dead giveaway, actually. And there are other Bible codes that point to Trump becoming president, quite a few of them. And Trump as Cyrus. We've shared those with you already. We don't need to go back and do that. But I just think it's a done deal as far as that's concerned. He's holding Trump's hand to subdue nations before him. Now, if he could say that about anybody, of course he could say it about America, who is at the head of the nations. I mean, what nation would Cyrus come to? Well, he'd come to Babylon, because that's where he conquered the Babylonish kingdom of the last bunch that we had in there. The last administration, you know. That's where he would be, and this is the head, so he can subdue nations before him. And I will loose the loins of kings. They won't have any strength before Cyrus. You should keep believing that and keep saying that and confessing that so that it happens. Because this is God's plan, and when we find out God's plan, we're supposed to pray it into existence and command it and exercise our authority to bring it to pass. Okay? To open the doors before him. And the gates shall not be shut. Now, there's folks out there trying to shut the gate. I saw a little comedy in, oh, I forget where it was, but basically the Democrats and the donkey and the people in Congress there were attempting to put up a wall in front of Trump, and he walked right through it. And I thought, yep, that's what the Bible says. The gates shall not be shut. They're trying to do that. So we just speak it all down. Anybody that hinders the work of God through this man, we cast it down in the name of Jesus. Confusion is in their minds. They are scattered. They have got diarrhea, and they can't come to Congress or something. You know, it doesn't matter. Whatever God wants to do to stop them, right? I will go before thee and make the rough places smooth. I will break in pieces the doors of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. It's amazing, you know, what Cyrus did to conquer Babylon. And, you know, as far as coming to get, of course, Babylon was stretched over the Euphrates River. It had bars over the river down into the water so that no enemy could enter the city. They were pretty confident of that, because they left the gates that ran up and down both sides of the Euphrates unlocked. And as we know, Cyrus temporarily emptied the Euphrates into a low-lying territory by his troops. He drained it off many channels off into this low-lying territory long enough for the water to drop and his troops to enter in to the city from both sides and go walk underneath the bars. And the gates were unlocked. And he walked right in and took over. They didn't even fight. They didn't know he was coming either, but it was too late when he was in there. And the people welcomed him, actually. They hated their leader who was trying to turn them over to the moon god. Guess who that is? You know, on all the Muslim flags there's the moon, right? For goodness sake. They didn't like him. They didn't like him pushing their moon god on them. And, of course, Cyrus overthrew Nabonidus, which is what a lot of people call that particular king, and his moon god, and gave the people back to their own gods, right? And, well, it goes on to say, "And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places." Well, now, if Cyrus has all this, it doesn't seem like he's going to have much of an economic problem. "I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places." Well, is he going to find their printing press or what? But treasures and riches are coming to Cyrus. And I don't believe that Cyrus is greedy of riches anymore. Something is changing in him. And I'll share that with you in a few minutes. Trump. It's going to come to Trump from unexpected sources. The treasures of darkness. Hidden riches of secret places. Unexpected sources. I believe there could be some innovation that God can open up that's been long held down and hidden. I believe that there are inventions that have been held down for a long time by the powers that be, who seem to be losing favor, that are going to come forward. Anyway, I look for these kind of things to come out now. Handling of the economy with God's help is another, I believe, unexpected treasure, because the people that were in there, absolutely nothing about that, obviously. And it's being proven. They knew nothing about that. They, as a matter of fact, whatever they did know didn't matter, because their intent was to crash the economy. And Why is God doing this? That thou mayest know that it is I, the Lord, who call thee by thy name, even the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, see, God's doing all this for his people's sake, and Israel my chosen. I don't see how anybody can look on what just happened as anything but a miracle from God. I'm believing there's more people believing in God, the real God, now than there has been. He really wasn't showing much strength under the Obama administration. It seemed like, well, their God's really not answering them and so on, you know. And the Muslims figured out, well, that God ain't nothing, you know. But look at it now. Who could turn things around so swiftly? And right in the middle of the voting, well, not in the middle, but after an hour or so of the voting, totally flipping the vote from who was at the top, you know, and who was at the bottom. So he's doing this for Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, my chosen. And I have called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. And, of course, we know that Cyrus was shown, some people think, by Daniel. Some people think by the high priest. But anyway, it was true that he was shown the prophecies in the Bible that were predating him and his name by 150 years, I believe, and was super impressed because none of the gods that he had known of or been associated with could ever do such a thing. And so he favored the God of the people of God. In fact, he said, their God is God. And verse 5, I am the Lord, and there is none else. Besides me, there is no God. So he is proving this to Cyrus Trump. I will gird thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. Notice, God is proving to the world through what's happening here that he is God. What else would you want for a revival? What else would you want for multitudes coming into the kingdom? Listen, it's happening, folks. Multitudes of Muslims are coming into the kingdom. It is happening. And I believe we haven't seen the biggest miracles yet. They're realizing that their God's never answered them. And they live a miserable life. Our God offers love and joy and peace and righteousness. Their God offers, well, you do what I tell you to or I'll kill you. And you need to kill the rest of the world if they don't come into your kingdom, right? They're tired of that. I'm sure of it. A lot of them are just miserable. So God, through all these miracles, is proving to the world and a lot of people that are under other religious ideas, you know, that there is a God that answers prayer. He said, I am the Lord and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I am the Lord that doeth all these things. Cyrus prospered God's people. And with the kingdom that they lost is what he prospered them with when they went into captivity to Babylon. And, of course, it's kings, one right after another. And this has begun, and we will be used of God to build the kingdom of spiritual resurrected Israel with David, its king, in Jerusalem, the capital city, which is the bride, according to what the Lord told John. So let's look at the prosperity of God's people. You know, in Ezra 1 and 1, I'll read on down. It says, Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, All the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord, the God of heaven, given me. Well, now, let me say that that doesn't fit any other country but America. What country could Cyrus come to, be revealed to, come into power in, that he could say all the kingdoms of the earth? And he is literally the, like Babylon was, the head of the image of the beast. So America is the head of the image of the beast and is Babylon. Okay? So who else could Cyrus come to that this would fit? And who else could Trump come to? And is he really going to have influence over the rest of the nations? I say yes. And some of them that are in there, are their heads are being rolled because they're on the other side of the fence. Their economies are crashing. We've had miraculous changes already in just the last month, you know. So, I mean, people have to be looking at that and seeing how stupid the left is, you know, to invade our countries, to let them rape our women, to let them steal from us, be so gracious as to us give them a place to live, and yet they want to kill us and are angry because we did good to them. You know, come on now. All the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord, the God of heaven, given me, and he hath charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem. And it looks like to me, in the natural, Trump's already started on that, you know. He wants to move the capital there, you know, which is in Judah. And whosoever there is among you of all his people, his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord. In, you know, this, how are you going to build the house of the Lord? There's only one way to do that. It's got to be by revival. Are we going to have a revival? Well, absolutely. I believe it. I believe it's coming. I believe people are going to listen. I believe they're going to see the signs and just wonder how in the world. We've never in our lifetime seen a government turn around like this. And God give favor in all the branches. And all, I mean, this is just fantastic, you know. The God of Israel, he is God. Now look at what Cyrus said here. The God of Israel. I mean, after all his dabbling in all those other gods, he figured out that the one that spoke about him is God. He is God, which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever is left in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts, besides the freewill offering for the house of God which is in Jerusalem. So, he is giving them favor. They're coming out of captivity to this Babylonish system, which has held them down. We've had the Babylonish kings, one right after another, the last one of which is, I believe, Nabonidus, the one, obviously the one that Daniel prophesied that he was going to die in that night, and the Medes and the Persians would divide his kingdom. And so this has happened. The one who was the king of Babylon essentially is dead. He has no power, to do anything. Could stir up a lot of ruckus, but that's all going to be put down too, you know. I believe that's all part of the Red Sea thing. From the time the vote came and the map turned red, I believe we've been seeing the Red Sea. And we're probably still looking at the Red Sea until the tribulation comes, right? So there are changes in the government. The government's being purged. The Red Sea is still happening. Obama and his troops are going down. Then rose up the heads of fathers' houses of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, even all whose spirit had stirred to go up to build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. Well, this is the kingdom of God, folks, on earth. This is what God's talking about. No, it's not talking about Judaism, and it's not talking about those that don't know God, and it's not talking about those who don't know who the Messiah is. No, it's talking about those who are born again, obviously. In Jerusalem, we are told very clearly in Revelation, is the bride. It's the leadership under King David, who is Jesus Christ, who is also manifested in a reformer ministry we call the man-child. And all they that were round about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, with beasts, and with precious things, besides all that was willingly offered. Well, now, you know, would they give them this if it wasn't valuable? Would they have given their gold and silver to the Israelites just before they went into the wilderness if it wasn't valuable? If it was good for nothing but filling a pothole, they wouldn't have done that, would they? And they wouldn't have accepted to carry that through the wilderness if it was worthless. So, I believe something's coming even before the third seal, which of course looks like an economic collapse, an agricultural collapse, so on and so forth. Also, Cyrus the king brought forth the vessels of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem and had put in the house of his gods. Even those did Cyrus, king of Persia, bring forth by the hand of Mithraedath, the treasurer, and numbered them unto Sheshbazzar, the prince of Judah. And this is the number of them, 30 platters of gold, 1,000 platters of silver, 9 and 20 knives, 30 bowls of gold, silver, bowls of a second sort, 410, and other vessels, 1,000. All the vessels of gold and of silver were 5,400. All these did Sheshbazzar bring up when they of the captivity were brought up from Babylon unto Jerusalem. Patty just received this text yesterday concerning the Persian Empire enriching God's people and their kingdom. Ezra 7 and 13. I make a decree that all they of the people of Israel and their priests and their Levites in my realm that are minded of their own free will to go to Jerusalem, go with thee. For as much as thou art sent of the king and his seven counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem, according to the law of thy God which is in thy hand, and to carry the silver and gold which the king and his counselors have freely offered unto the God of Israel, whose habitation is in Jerusalem. So this was their own money that they were giving into the hand because they wanted the favor of God, right? And all the silver and gold that thou shalt find in all the province of Babylon. Whoa. With the freewill offering of the people and of the priests, offering willingly for the house of their God, which is in Jerusalem. Therefore thou shalt with all diligence buy with this money bullocks and rams and lambs with their meal offerings and their drink offerings, and shalt offer them upon the altar of the house of your God, which is in Jerusalem. And whatsoever shall seem good to thee and to thy brethren to do with the rest of the silver and of the gold, that do ye after the will of your God. And the vessels that are given thee for the service of the house of thy God deliver thou before the God of Jerusalem. And whatsoever more shall be needful for the house of thy God, which thou shalt have occasion to bestow, bestow it out of the king's treasure house. Wow, so the king gave personally to this goal. And I think, I'm going to share Sue Gilbert's revelation here, which goes along with that. And it just sounds like to me that Trump will give a lot of favor to the people of God. And I believe that means not only to the real people of God who are born again, the Christians, but also to those whom God is going to save out of Israel, natural Israel. Okay? And he does. This has all been rigged. He does. He's even, married into, in a way, the leadership in Israel there. So, you know, that's turned around their fortunes too. Okay? And, a right to life movement, you know, the president has spoken there and the vice president has spoken there, and that's never happened. Okay? So, this is a really strange time, a miraculous time. And Trump is giving us time. And let me share Sue Gilbert's dream. She thought it may have been given around October of 2016, and possibly before Trump was chosen. But she believes the man in this dream is Donald Trump, or he represents Donald Trump. She said, in a dream, there was a man at my house. I knew him, but not personally, and he was not from UBM. Well, we know Sue's house is the house of God, right? So he was there, I believe, in the house of God for a while, and he started changing. He had such a peace. I saw him go to a place, in or outside the house, I'm not sure, where there was a piano. And he started to play the piano and was singing with all of his might to the Lord. I was watching him, but he didn't see me. It's strange that one of the revelations I'm going to share with you is from Kim Clement, who prophesied many times as he played the piano. But he didn't see me. I was like, at times I would be observing him without him knowing it. And other times I was talking to him. Then he saw the Bible and started to read it. He went home and gave the Bible to his wife, and they read it together and prayed together. I saw them at their bedside kneeling and praying together. And, you know, when they went to the meeting at the cathedral there, his wife showed some emotion, even standing up at certain times and impressing people that she did have a heart for the Lord. Very interesting. They were rich in the world, like Trump is, but they were so happy when they got the Bible. But they were afraid of their social friends that they were connected to, that they would come down on them and think that they were in some kind of cult that could harm them. They started to understand the word, which gave them peace. So they weren't concerned anymore. Then they started to give away their riches. We've had things like that in the past, revelations of Trump Tower being emptied and things like that, and them not only not being sorry as though some economic collapse had happened, but being very happy, you know. Then they started to give away their riches. One scene, they had all these clocks together on their bed, and they were deciding which to give away. And after that, I saw that all the clocks were gone. Well, is it not saying that Trump is giving us more time? As I've said before, it's too soon for the beast to make war on the saints. That comes in the middle of the tribulation. And we haven't started the tribulation yet. So, obviously, if Obama had his way, which we foiled through prayer, he would have turned the UN to make that covenant that they were attempting to do, but failed because of the prayers of the saints. Is it not true that time has been lengthened? He has given us a little time. You say, do you want a little time? Well, some people don't because they're ready. They're ready. They're ready, you know. But other people, they're not ready. Their children's not ready. They're asking God for time. And, well, what do you think he does? Anyway, it seems that he has given us a little bit of time here. They were so happy, they started to give more away. I know how the feeling was. When I came to the Lord, I was just like that. I had lots of stuff, and I just started giving it away because I didn't have time for any of it anyway. It was just joy to me to do it. But before that, all this stuff interested me. She said it was like they couldn't give enough. They would give and have more to give. I felt like the man represented Trump and his wife, and he had received the Lord, and the Lord is giving us more time for his purpose. I'm not sure exactly when this dream was given. She thought it might have been October of last year. Okay, so now I want to introduce you to some prophecies of Trump's success through God. And Kim Clement gave these prophecies. Now, after our meeting yesterday morning, I was praying. I was asking God when the things that he has told me about the man-child were going to come to pass. I was asking him for an answer, looking to him for an answer. And moments later, somebody had mentioned a Kim Clement prophecy, and I had dropped an audio on my desktop that at the moment when I was asking God for this answer, although I didn't know this was the answer, I went to my desktop to listen to it. And when I saw, you know, that it was an audio, I thought, I'd like to see if somebody has transcribed the audio. So then I went to search for the text, because I always like the text. Okay, if I can do that, I won't waste time listening to a video if I can find the text, right? So, sure enough, immediately, a text came up. And it was the prophecies that were taken off of that particular video. And so this is a transcription from that. And I'll put the link here so you can go to it for yourself, because he put some footnotes in there and so on and so forth. And this first one is April the 20th, 2013. So here I am asking him about the man-child that, of course, was going to be a complement to Trump's ministry. And there is a parallel between the two, okay? And we've had revelations about that, you know, like Eve's dream about expecting Donald Trump to come forward and at the inauguration, and instead David came forward representing the Davids, you know, and she said there was a parallel universe. And of course, well, that's very interesting. So I was asking the Lord about this. So this is the first thing I read moments after I'd asked the Lord that question. And it says, there is a man by the name of Mr. Clark. Well, my middle name is Clark. A lot of people don't know that. It's not very important. And I'm not saying I'm this person. I'm just saying God used this to give me an answer. Okay? I'm not saying I'm this person. There is a man by the name of Mr. Clark. And there is also another man by the name of Donald. You're both watching me saying, could it be that God is speaking to me? Yes, He is. Somebody, just a few minutes before you came on the show, you went out and you took the American flag and you said, I'm proud of my nation, quote unquote. You raised it up and God said, you have been determined through your prayers to influence this nation. Well, frankly, I do believe even more than Donald Trump's influence through prayer on this nation, that we have been influencing this nation through prayer, and other Christians that are out there around the world are doing the same thing, who know about prayer, know about its power, know how to use it, know they have authority, know they can speak and the angels will go and bring it to pass, know these things. These are the people. It's mostly the bride, you know, that the king listened to when he was turning Haman's destruction around, right? Yes, it was the bride. Okay, you're watching me and you're an influential person. The Spirit of God says, hear the word of the prophet to you as a king. I will open that door that you prayed about. And when it comes time for the election, you will be elected. So I thought, okay, that's it, Lord. You're speaking to me, right? Now, again, I'm not saying that Mr. Clark here is me, but he was answering me in the words, like he answers me in the Bible's words, you know. Well, that was on April the 20th, 2013, that he gave that prophecy. And, part of it came to pass, and I'm suspecting all of it came to pass, okay, or is coming to pass. Well, now I want you to notice the dates on the rest of these prophecies about Trump. They're 2007, 2007, 2006, okay, and I'm going to share them with you. You know, he was right about Trump going in there back before Trump ever ran for president. He was right. And some of these things in here you're going to recognize as are perfectly right. I mean, they are coming and have come to pass. Okay? So just pay attention. I'm going to see what kind of favor we're going to get that's coming along with Trump. Right. This that shall take place shall be the most unusual thing. A transfiguration. A going into the marketplace. Transfiguration? Going into the marketplace? Well, it doesn't sound bad, does it? No, it doesn't. And is it a most unusual thing? Boy, I tell you, it's the most unusual thing that's happening, and you know it. I know it. It's a miracle from God. A transfiguration, a going into the marketplace, if you wish, into the news media, where Time Magazine will have no choice but to say what I want them to say. Newsweek, that I want them to say. The View, what I want them to say. Trump shall become a trumpet, says the Lord. Trump shall become a trumpet. I will raise up the Trump to become a trumpet. Boy, he sure has, and he's not afraid to talk, is he? He's very bold. God's put that boldness in him, and he's putting a patience in him to put up with all the crazies out there. Most people would have thrown their hands up and pulled their hair out by now. But anyway. And Bill Gates, to open up the gates of a financial realm for the church, says the Lord. Well, that's not a little thing either, and he has a lot of influence on a lot of other rich people, but I think Bill Gates is almost a trillionaire, for goodness sake. I one time looked on the internet to see how much $1 trillion is. If I'm not mistaken, it's like an acre with pallets of $100 bills stacked up covering that whole acre. That's a lot of money, $1 trillion. And so far, the rich people haven't really been enthused to share that with Christianity. But here we are going into the wilderness. And what did God tell the Israelites when they went into the wilderness? You ask everybody to give you the gold and the silver. So, I know we don't have to ask individuals, but we can ask of the Lord, right, to do this. Because God wants to build His kingdom. He wants to supply the needs of people that are going into the wilderness, right? And we see, when the king of Babylon was conquered, all of that was freed up to be given to the people of God. So, who's in control of Bill Gates? You're right, it's the God of heaven. Who was it that turned Trump in this direction, right? It was the God of heaven, the true God. Who is it that's, slapping down Soros around the world right now? Nations are turning against him because he's used his money to destroy people and destroy nations and gobble up their wealth. Right? And, of course, that's all been prayed to. For God said, I will not forget 9-1-1. I will not forget what took place that day, and I will not forget the gatekeeper that watched over New York, who will once again stand and watch over this nation, says the Spirit of God. Well, I'm wondering, if the Statue of Liberty, of course, has been perverted to bring everybody, even all of our enemies, into this land, and we know that Trump is turning that around, too. He's watching over the gate to this nation. Okay? He'll once again watch over this nation, says the Spirit of God. It shall come to pass that the man that I shall place in the highest office shall go in whispering my name. He did. He didn't say a whole lot about God. That would have scared a lot of folks, wouldn't it? Oh. But God said, when he enters into the office, he will be shouting out by the power of the Spirit. For I shall fill him with my Spirit when he goes into office. And there will be a praying man in the highest seat in your land. Now, if that's not a miracle, I don't know of any. Because that just hasn't happened. Now, I know presidents always say they're Christians. But, you know, that's just politics. And I wonder, since he's praying and the Spirit of God is praying through him, what is he praying for? And the God who makes him pray, will he not answer? What is on Trump's heart to make this nation successful again? To restore this nation to its former glory? That's what's on his heart. Of course, I know that when God comes in, he sometimes changes what is our highest ambition, right? But he's going in there to be successful according to all of the prophecies that we know about in scriptures. Let's see, I think Cyrus is mentioned like 22 times in scripture, I believe. And his ambition is to restore America, and he seems to be successful at what he was doing in all those prophecies. So, if he is praying for this restoration, and the people of God are praying for this restoration, then all of the powers that be can't overcome that. Okay, here's another one, February the 10th, 2007. There will be a praying president, not a religious one. Praise God, that is so awesome, you know. For I will fool the people, says the Lord. I will fool the people. Yes, I will. God says, the one that is chosen shall go in. And they shall say, he has hot blood. Yes, and that would be correct, right? He, at that time, he definitely did have. And they point out all these things, why we shouldn't have Trump, why Christians shouldn't put Trump in office, and so on and so forth. What they're saying is, he's got hot blood, right? So, back in 2007, you know, he said this, for the Spirit of God says, yes, he may have hot blood, but he will bring the walls of protection on this country in a greater way. Well, he's big on building the wall, isn't he? He is determined to build the wall. And, of course, Obama held the wall, the doors wide open, in order to bring in all of his buddies. Because he is a Muslim. It doesn't matter what you think. And he was bringing in his buddies to make this place a Muslim country and to overthrow Christianity in America. So, now here's a man that favors Christians, and he's building the wall. And the economy of this country shall change rapidly. Did you see that? The economy of this country shall change rapidly. Now, considering that he was very successful in all the prophecies, and even seemingly in this prophecy, what do you think that means? Well, he is putting people in there that have common sense, and they didn't have any in there like that before. Okay? The economy of this country shall change rapidly, says the Lord of hosts. Listen to the word of the Lord. God says, I will put at your helm for two terms. Now, I've thought it might be only 3.5 years, but I'm willing to wait and see. Because we got a God who changes things. And we got a God that can answer people's prayers. A lot of people are stuck on what they heard. Let me say, there's a confusion out there of people when Trump went into office. Those who said Obama was never going to leave office because they were depending upon a dream, a vision, a prophecy of people who said that. And you know what? When they said that, I have no doubt that it was true. But we also shared prophecies where if God's people prayed, he would put Trump in there and change what he was threatening to do, exactly as he said he would do in the Bible. So they're confused. They don't understand this, that prophecy can be changed. Warnings can be changed. Threats can be changed. And when they're changed, you have to change with them. So they're confused. And they're considering that they must be false prophets. No. Usually they'll try to be figuring a way out of this, you know. But, or they'll be ignoring what they've said or so on and so forth. Now, I'm not ignoring any of it. We've put it on the site when it was the threat and when it was taken away. So I'm not worried about any of that. I just want to move when the Lord moves, right? They don't yet know that prayer changes things, okay? But he will not be a praying president when he starts. Well, you know, obviously he would have been unacceptable to the masses if everybody thought he was a Christian. But everybody knew he wasn't. So when God said he has fooled them, he has fooled them. I will put him in office and then I will baptize him in the Holy Spirit and my power, says the Lord of hosts. Wow. Yeah. He did fool them, didn't he? Okay. So here's another one. January the 14th, 2006. Now, this one's very interesting, too. It seems that even the left is going to see that God is in this. No, not all, but even some of the very worst of the left is going to see God in this. And we have prophecies of Obama being saved. And now, in this revelation of Hillary Clinton and her family coming in. And you say, oh no, David, you gotta be kidding. Well listen, God just glories in showing his power to save people, even the bottom of the barrel. And I know that if Hillary gets saved, she'll agree with me. And so the prophecy goes, and some of you said, when the Spirit said, Hillary Clinton, some of you shouted out, yes! Well, I say the same thing. Wow! That's what you need, is somebody that's been there at the bottom of the barrel and can tell you that God saves them from there, you know? God said, I have already dealt with her heart, not to be president of this nation, but to be president in a Christian world. She will have a testimony second to none. I would say so. And Obama too, yeah. I mean, let's face it, we're talking about mass murderers here. Mass murderers of Christians. And like someone said, Paul was in the sandbox still compared to these people. He was in a high chair. These were mass murderers. And God saves because they don't know what they're doing when they're under the influence of the demons and the devil himself. They don't know what they're doing. And when they become a Christian, guess what? They're not guilty. People are so worried that God won't forgive them for all they have done. Well, somebody like this proves it. Yes, God will forgive you of everything that you have done if you come to him in repentance. and humbled yourself to His Word, right? She will have a testimony second to none and will eventually come out with it and make declaration that Christ Jesus saved her marriage, saved her child, and saved her life. Whoa. There's them Clintons. And when this happened, you know, people think, you're crazy, David. Well, maybe so, but I believe God can do anything. I'm just crazy enough to believe God can do anything, and He loves to glory in saving the unsavable. And when this happens, he said, there will be a shaking in the Democratic Party that is so powerful. Oh, I can imagine that. And I'm going to put the link here so you can go to this site. And he has footnotes there too, some of which are good and some maybe not so good. But anyway. So now I want to talk to you about those three dreams, which lead us to do something here, you know. Okay, Leon Lunsford had this one on the 26th. We had them on the 25th, 26th, and 27th, if I'm not mistaken. 25th, let's see. Yep, 25th, 26th, 27th. Now, these people weren't in collusion, but they got a message there that we need to pay attention to. And Leon said, I had a dream on Tuesday night or Wednesday morning. No one else was in the dream until the end. There was a row of buildings, businesses, which ran along a street. They were attached together, having a common wall. You know, that's the way they do in downtown business areas, right? A common wall. And as you looked at the front of the buildings, I was interested in the one on the end, the left end. The left end. Just remember that. You know, the left, right? The left is what we're dealing with here. And I think it was a bank at one time. So the bank has a common face with the rest of the business and the economy. They can't be separated, right? As goes one, so goes the other, right? Okay. I was hired to do some remodeling. I believe he is Trump in this dream. I was hired to do some remodeling to correct some problems. It seemed that everything was out of level. Yep. After some time, I realized that the task I was asked to do was not possible. Yep. Now, just think about it, folks. What we're talking about today, all the experts say is not possible. Okay. Okay, so... And I, as I said, I think Leon represents Donald Trump here. Trump is attacking this economic problem, this bank problem, now. And it does look impossible, but God's power is made perfect in our weakness, right? And he's making a heroic effort with much interference from the radical left, which we need to cast down by faith, right? Father, in the name of Jesus, we do cast down the radical left and all their opposition to this change that you said you have brought. We cast down the devil and all the demons. We've taken your authority away, and you go in Jesus' name. So we thank you for absolute victory here, Lord. So, Leon said, I suggested that we gut the building, leaving the outside structure intact. That's this old bank building, right? We even tore out the flooring system, leaving the crawl space, which was about 4 feet down. Well, I believe that the president will do the same with the Fed, the banking system. It'll look the same to the man on the street as far as being useful, but it'll be entirely different underneath. Right? That's the point being made here. And Leon said the foundation seemed to have sunk about 6 inches. Well, yeah, the bank is hemorrhaging money under Obama purposely in order to enrich the Muslims and in order to bring down America. I don't know why people ain't figured that out, but that's the whole point. It's not that he's stupid. It's that he is evil. There's a difference. And, of course, we're giving thanks to God to save him, right? Father, we just thank you for doing that. Sunk about 6 inches on the left side. Yep, that's the side it was hemorrhaging the money out of. But the brick structure sitting on the foundation was intact and sound. So, of course, Leon, I believe as Trump, is trying to compensate for the inequality and the sinking in the foundation of the economy and the banking system by bringing back some investment. As you know, Obama wasn't good at investment. He was running all that off. And Trump is very good at bringing back investment, and that's what he's doing. So, Leon went on to say, we would have to reframe the floor level with a 3-inch drop on the right side and a 3-inch rise on the left side. In other words, putting it back in where it's been taken out. We were then through for the day. Well, now, okay, it looks like they fixed the foundational problem here. It looks like in this dream they found a cure. Okay, so the people that are looking at it say it's impossible, but they've said that all along. Everything that's been happening has been impossible. So let's just look to God and see what he's saying, right? Before I left, some men came into the building carrying some big blocks of concrete. They were not square, but rather a free-form style, big and roundish as if poured into a hole of some sort. I just knew that these were mafia-type people and that the cement contained dead bodies of people that they had gotten rid of at some time in the past. They have been very good at this. I mean, he makes us a joke here. Perhaps Jimmy Hoffa's in there, right? Yeah, maybe so. Well, when Trump was done, and when he's done what he could, if these banksters who have blood on their hands, just like this revelation is showing us here, are allowed input, it's all going to fail because of God's justice, right? The foundation is crooked. The rest of it's going to be crooked too, right? So don't let them in. But that's exactly what he's warning here against, okay? Them bringing in these dead bodies. The foundation of investment is still ill-gotten gain of the criminal banksters and the companies who have robbed the lives of others, and eventually this will fail if it's permitted, if this is permitted. We don't need business as usual, in other words, right? James 2 and 6, but you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and themselves drag you before the judgment seats? James 5 and 1, come now, ye rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and your silver are rusted, and their rust shall be for a testimony against you, and shall eat your flesh as fire. You have laid up your treasure in the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who mowed your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth out. And the cries of them that reaped have entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabaoth. Now, you know, the Lord does not favor the rich who have plundered the poor. You have lived delicately upon the earth and taken your pleasure. You have nourished your hearts in a day of slaughter. In other words, people are dying and you got money in the bank. It's there, you can look at it and it's pretty and you're just so proud you got so much money, but people are dying for lack of it. You have condemned, you have killed the righteous one. He doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruits of the earth, being patient over it, until it receive the early and the latter rain. And Leon said, all of a sudden I was in that crawl space and it was covered up, as if the floor had been installed. But I wasn't alone. With me was the Catholic priest that gave the first prayer at Trump's inauguration, Cardinal Dolenz. So ultimately the economy will fail if the corruption of the rich, who are guilty of blood, and the apostate church, which have plundered the poor, that is being covered up, is permitted. So they were covered up under there, right? So, Leon said, we had a flashlight and we tried to get out, but to no avail. And then I woke up. Well, this is a warning. And it's a warning to pray against the corruption, that it doesn't find its way into the foundation of a reformed economic system, right? And Father, that's our prayer. And we know you said that all things whatsoever we pray and ask for, if we believe we received them, we would have them. And if we spoke to the mountain and didn't doubt in our heart that the things that we said would come to pass, we would have what we say. So we do that, Lord. We rebuke this corrupt foundation. We send forth the angels to make sure that none of this goes into this foundation. In the name of Jesus. Just as they went in there and cleared out the state house. Yes. And David Dengler had this revelation on the 25th. See, all three of these, 3 days in a row, we got these. He said, I had a dream this past Monday that Father has brought back to my memory several times, so I thought it best to send it to you. I saw a black and white dairy cow falling through the sky. Its head was facing to the left. Yeah, that would make it fall right there, wouldn't it? It was wiggling its legs as though fighting against gravity. Our cash cow is trying to break its fall. It hit the earth in an arid field with a bone-crushing thud and was smashed dead, almost unrecognizable. Now, people that believe prophecies are, that's it, it's over, you know, you can't do anything, they don't understand that these things come as warnings so that you do something, and then if it's changed, they say, oh, false prophet, false prophet. No, they don't know what they're talking about. God gives a warning so that you change that. Okay? And a cash cow is an economic enterprise, like the United States, whose output exceeds what has been invested. And we had a president that was very good at this. And Wikipedia, just to put a little weight behind what I just said, Wikipedia says, quote, cash cow is business jargon for a business venture that generates a steady return of profits that far exceed the outlay of cash required to acquire or start it.
Uh-huh. That sounds exactly like what's happening. The term cash cow is a metaphor for a dairy cow used on farms to produce milk, offering a steady stream of income with little maintenance. Yep. Your upfront money that you have to buy the first cow, never mind the second cow that's born from the first cow, you know, and it just keeps, and you don't have a whole lot of money input. You just put the cow out there in the field and it keeps on producing milk. And milk is very expensive. I don't know if you ever went to the store lately, but. So, anyway, that's a cash cow. And it pretty well, in this revelation, is saying, warning us that the cash cow is going to fall with a sudden crash. A crash cash cow. So, Americans have been plundered by Obama to the tune of trillions of dollars, which he has given to our enemies. And the output is far more than the investment, and a crash is certain without God's help. Okay, and that was the plan, actually. That's the people who he worked for. That was their plan. They want a one-world order, and America stands in the way. So that's their plan. And we know that Trump is racing against time to decrease the output and increase the investment so that the cash can keep flowing. And this is a warning of coming failure to the U.S. cow. If we don't pray and command and exercise faith for God's help. Right? That's what I feel. Okay. Then he said, then two very large birds of prey landed on the carcass, one on the left and one on the right. Yep, from both sides they'll come to gobble up what's left, right? And began pecking. The birds looked like a cross between an eagle and a vulture, but much larger and ugly. Well, I believe these are the greedy banksters ready to devour the pieces of the cow, which they expect fully to fall from the sky. So they're prepared for it, you know. And, of course, at little or no cost to themselves, right? They've done it before. Next, two male lions approached and the birds flew away. They sat on either side, left and right, and began to eat the cow. That is, the two lions sat on either side and began to eat the cow. So larger prey or banksters will end up with the most, right? He said there were also other animals wandering around the field, but they stayed away because of the lions. Yep. You can't compete with the lions, can you? And Lord, as you taught us, we send the angels to remove the corrupt foundation for the economy, to remove those who kill and steal and destroy this economy. We rebuke the greed, the competition, the witchcraft, the faction, the selfish ambition. We forbid your power in this resurrection in Jesus' name. We forbid it. We cast it down in the name of Jesus. Agree with me with your faith, saints. Don't just listen to me. Agree. Pray it. Believe it. Okay? And then Shalanda Kelton had this revelation on the 27th. She said, in this dream, Missy and I were looking for me a job. We ended up at a bank, which I realized later was a Bank of America. Now, I don't think it's talking about the Bank of America. We're talking about the bank in America, right? Missy decided to drive through the bank with her car. That reminds me of the vision that people had of Trump as a bulldozer going through Washington, D.C., That one came to pass, huh? We were driving through an office setting that had desks where some people were working. They were all really frantic and ready to call security. We passed by a few empty desks, and Missy was telling me, there's a desk where you can work. So, will the leftist banking system in America be frightened as the new influence of the right passes through like a bulldozer? Their call for security probably means that they have insecurity and fear, right? And no doubt they too might be worried about prosecution. That's like the people in the leftist State Department when they fled in mass. We were shown that they would be in fear, trembling under their desks, and we were told to send forth the angels to root them out, which we did. And then that happened. I quote from one article here. It says, a wave of top U.S. State Department officials have resigned as President Donald Trump's administration exerts control over the agency with an eye towards purging an old guard seen as representing the establishment that he railed against during the campaign. Yep. And no doubt they were afraid of prosecution because they did so many illegal things. This is the most illegal administration there has ever been, I am sure. So Shalonda said, well, we finally got out of the car. I don't know how. And when the people called security, they were coming up, and I asked if they were hiring. And a guy that worked there, that was a manager, said, yeah, you guys scared me. Then a lady came and answered the phone, speaking about being a Democrat. And then, and so we're talking about the left here again, you know. Then Missy had this look on her face like, uh-oh, because we didn't know that this Bank of America was of the Democratic Party. By the time the manager, who was black, I believe that symbolizing bankers walking in darkness, right? By the time the manager guy, who was black, took my hand and was leading me to a different area to fill out an application, I guess. So that's what she felt it was all about. And while the manager was holding my hand, I was talking to Jesus, asking him to protect me from any spirits that would transfer from this man to me. And then I thought, now listen to this. Then I thought, hey, I could transfer a spirit to him, thinking of maybe preaching the gospel to him. Did you hear that? And while we were walking to this other office area, which was bright with lights and with white walls, the manager asked if I worked for a bank before, and I said no. Then he said, I should have. And then I woke up. What is this saying, this thing about transference of spirits here, you know? It's saying that we should be the one to make a change of spirit in the leftist banker system and not the other way around. Just like the other dreams are pointing that out. We by faith and commands, are to make the change ourselves. We're going to win this thing. So let us bind and forbid the leftist influence in the banking system. All three of these are the same, aren't they, in a way? Well, Lord, we forbid the spirits of faction and witchcraft and greed and lawlessness from the banksters to affect this new system. We send the angels to clean out the leaven that is destroying the lump. We ask that they be converted by all the good things that are happening in the economy, like $2 trillion more investment in the stock market in 1 month, and the Dow holding above 20,000, which has never happened. I mean, that's a good start, isn't it? a tremendous start. What is God saying? Well, he's showing favor. Well, people point out, yeah, but you could still be on the edge of a depression. Yeah, I know that. That's true. That's why we need to pray and agree now. You know, you folks out there who have faith in God, know how to exercise your authority, you're the ones he's going to listen to. Not the millions of people out there who claim to be Christians who pray and never expect to see an answer. You know, it's the bride. The bride is going to be heard. Okay? And many have prayed for God to have mercy on them, on their families. And they're not ready for the bride. And they're asking for mercy, right? And their families aren't ready either. People have prayed that their families might be in the bride. Trump may be an answer to prayer in giving us this time. Those clocks, right? An answer to prayer in giving us this time. So, let's ask God for mercy to be enabled to take advantage of what he has miraculously given. Let's believe for an impressive work in this world to bring the multitudes in. Let God show his favoritism towards Christianity, right? In a dream given to Gainold, the bride was very thin, and we were going to the rehearsal and didn't know when the marriage would come. Sounds like time is extended a little here, doesn't it? It seems that two things have to happen. Or let me say that two things must be destroyed before the people are ready to go as one into the wilderness behind the man-child. The faction, even the denominational faction, because they're going to follow the man-child, right? And their respect for the apostate church. That all has to change. So, what is it saying? We're just not ready. I mean, this is what it seems to be saying. We're just not ready. Let me share Gainold's revelation with you. And we called it the falling away miss the wedding. Gainold Moser, and she had this on the 6th of this January of 2017. A friend and I were going to a wedding. A young child, which I believe is the man-child reformer ministry, was also going with us. We were walking up a steep, narrow path. Well, that's the narrow road that leads to God's life, right? And all at once, there was a large tree uprooted and laying on the path that we were walking on. And I believe that this is clearly a great falling away of people on the way to the marriage feast, which is exactly what's been happening. That's what the faction is. It's a great falling away of people on the way to the marriage feast, which begins, by the way, at the beginning of the tribulation, 7 days. The marriage feast in the Bible was 7 days. The tribulation is 7 days. Okay? She said the first part of the tree that we saw were the bare, gnarly roots. They were short and small and had knots and kinks everywhere. There was no soil around any of the roots. Well, that could make it fall over right there. Well, small roots of a crooked life, of not being rooted in the Word, is causing people to fall away. Mark 4:17, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. And then when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the Word, straightway they stumble. Yep, that's what happened. That's what's been happening. This is the great falling away on the way to the marriage feast. Hosea 9:16, Ephraim is smitten, their root is dried up, they shall bear no fruit. Yea, though they bring forth, yet will I slay the beloved fruit of their womb. We had a brother that was falling away to faction, and a tornado went to his property and took out all the fruit trees, almost all of them, and there was a bunch of them. And we thought, oh my goodness, that's a sign. And it was. It was a sign. It came to pass. And so this is what Ephraim represents here, the northern 10 tribes who worshiped the golden calf and made ministers out of people who were not Levites. Okay. This is what happened to the faction, of course. The diameter of the trunk of the tree was higher than I am tall. Well, there are many who claim to be in the bride, but they are tested and found unworthy, just as it was in the book of Esther. Right? Somehow we found ourselves on the other side of the roots. In other words, they're still going towards the marriage, right? The trunk of this tree had red bark and was very long. Well, Edom means red, as was Esau, their father, red. And they were rejected because they were factious and hated and abused their brother Israel. Yeah. So, anyway, Patty received this text that morning by faith at random concerning this, and then I shared this dream that I'm sharing with you right now. Ezekiel 35:1-15. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Mount Seir, which is the leadership of Edom, or Esau, who sold his birthright because of a root of bitterness against his brother, and prophesy against it, and say unto it, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I am against thee, O Mount Seir. I will stretch out my hand against thee, and I will make thee a desolation and an astonishment. I will lay thy cities waste, and thou shalt be desolate, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Because thou hast had a perpetual enmity, and hast given over the children of Israel to the power of the sword in the time of their calamity, in the time of the iniquity of the end. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord, I will prepare thee unto blood, and blood shall pursue thee. Since thou hast not hated blood, therefore blood shall pursue thee. Thus will I make Mount Seir an astonishment and a desolation, and I will cut off from it him that passeth through and him that returneth. And I will fill its mountains with its slain. In thy hills and in thy valleys and in all thy watercourses shall they fall that are slain by the sword. And I will make thee a perpetual desolation, and thy cities shall not be inhabited, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Of course, we pray that what happens is God smites the demons that are holding them captive. And as you know, when a spirit is separated from a body, that's what we call death. So this is a spiritual death, that they lose those demons that hold them captives and that rule them, right? And of course, some of them are going to be reprobated because the Lord showed us that, but others are going to repent. Because thou hast said,
these two nations and these two countries shall be mine, and we will possess it, whereas the Lord was there. Now, here's what I thought when we read this. These two nations, talking about America and the church, because we are a holy nation, the Bible says. They thought they would possess these two nations, but the Lord was there. And, of course, they haven't believed that. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord, I will do according to thine anger and according to thine envy, which thou hast showed out of thy hatred against them. And I will make myself known among them when I shall judge thee. And thou shalt know that I, the Lord, have heard all thy revilings, which thou hast spoken against the mountains of Israel, saying, they are laid desolate, they are given us to devour. And you have magnified yourselves against me with your mouth, and have multiplied your words against me, and I have heard it. And thus saith the Lord, when the whole earth rejoiceth, I will make thee desolate. You know, something is good is coming to the earth. A lot of people are going to come into the kingdom. But Mount Seir in particular, which is the leadership, many of these are not going to come back to the Lord. When the earth rejoices, I will make thee desolate. And thou didst rejoice over the inheritance of the house of Israel, because it was desolate, so will I do unto thee. Thou shalt be desolate, O Mount Seir, and all Edom, even all of it, they shall know that I am the Lord. And Gainold said, it reminded me of the tall redwoods or sequoia trees that I have seen in California. Yep, the red wood, the falling away of Esau, Edom, red. The famous redwood, by the way, that cars drove through, just recently fell in a wind in California as a sign. Did you hear that? Those things lived hundreds and hundreds of years, and they had a tunnel going through this tree, and it fell over in a wind. Isn't that amazing? She said, redwood trees have red bark, just like Edom, just like Esau, and wood that is soft. The bark is said to be fire resistant. All bark is actually fire resistant. It's made that way by God. And though this tree may have represented someone who had been on the path but fell away by faction, yes, I believe that it represents the Edomites, Esau's seed, who were factious. The bark, being fire-resistant, may have represented pride not letting the flesh to be burned up, and they were taken out. Okay. We continued on the path until we got to the top, which represents, let's see, they overcame what the great tree did not. They passed up the tree, its roots were sticking up, it died, but they overcame and made it to the top. They made it to the marriage feast. So going to the top represents overcoming the world. Like overcoming gravity, right? Where there was a small white chapel. In other words, not room for many. We just got there when a very tall, slim woman in a bridal gown walked up to us. Notice that. Very tall, slim woman in a bridal gown walked up to us and informed us that this was only a rehearsal, not the wedding. Oh. So, the body of the bride is slim, meaning it's few in number, but she's tall, meaning that she's exalted or great in the kingdom. So, if the body of the bride is not filled out yet, then everything is not ready, right? Just my thought, okay? And this fit another text that we received in the morning, that God will narrow the chosen down. The proud and the rebellious will be culled. Anna received by faith at random, Zephaniah 3:9, on down. I'm going to read it to you. For then will I turn the peoples of a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve Him with one consent. He's turning the people back to the Bible. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring mine offering. In that day shalt thou not be put to shame for all thy doings, wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee thy proudly exalting ones, and thou shalt no more be haughty in my holy mountain. So he's filtering out these people. They didn't make it to the wedding. The big tree fell on the ground. The big red tree fell on the ground. But I will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and a poor people, and they shall take refuge in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies. Neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. So that's not original Jerusalem, it's a daughter of Jerusalem, right? It's a newer version of Jerusalem, a younger version of Jerusalem, right? The bride. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments, he hath cast out thine enemy. There's that red tree. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not fear evil any more. O praise the Lord. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, O Zion. Let not thy hands be slack. The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. So God's finally got his product. The bride, right? I will gather them that sorrow for the solemn assembly who were of thee, to whom the burden upon her was a reproach. Behold, at that time I will deal with all them that afflict thee. I will save that which is lame and gather that which was driven away, and I will make them a praise and a name whose shame hath been in all the earth. Why? Because of Edom. He said, at that time I will deal with all them that afflict thee. At that time will I bring you in, and at that time will I gather you. I will make you a name and a praise among all the peoples of the earth. When I bring back your captivity before your eyes, says the Lord. These are the people that have escaped captivity to Babylon. Babylonish religion too. You know, they have escaped. And they have come to stand before the king and be his new temple, right?
She said, that was a very unexpected comment. And, of course, she's talking about, she informed us that this was only a rehearsal, not the wedding. I realized I didn't know the time of the wedding and didn't have a watch. Well, of course, we don't. My friend Linda didn't have a watch either. She said the bride, being very tall and slim, represented that she was not fleshly. And I would say that the body has not been yet filled out. That's my addition to that. Not filled out, meaning not everybody's in the bride that's going to be there. I didn't want to miss the wedding, so chose not to leave, but laid down on the ground. So I'm going to stay there on top of the mountain, right? Don't go back down. No. My friend and young child did the same. Not wanting to regress is what I would believe this is talking about, but keeping our place above the world, you know, in heavenly places, in Christ, and to be ready for the marriage. That's what the Lord, I believe, is saying here. This dream left me with many questions at the time, and it seemed to me that the Lord was silent, but other voices were speaking loud and clear. They were speaking of rejection and condemnation and unworthiness. It was a time to seek the Lord and replay my thoughts, actions, and motivations to see if He would reveal to me anything in me to cause a separation between us. Yes, those that fear the Lord, that's exactly what they do. They are going to be honest with themselves. There are many people that lie to themselves and lie to others because of rejection and condemnation. They want to be acceptable, and so they see things in a light that they want to see things. They're not honest with themselves. They're abusing their brother, and they don't have a conscience against it in many cases. Again, I was not hearing anything during the day. He would bring the dream to my mind, but at night the drawing was stronger. I now realize that this was for a purpose, that I would seek Him and His Word without distractions. And I truly thank and praise Him for His love and patience with me. And yep, that's the kind of heart that the Lord wants, right? In the natural, my friend Linda had rheumatic fever as a small child, which weakened her heart. She died at the age of 39 from a heart condition. She had been homeschooled through the ninth grade and then attended the same high school as I did. The name Linda means excellent virtue. This morning, I felt the Lord used my friend Linda to represent His saints who may be weak or sickly in heart, physically and spiritually, but are coming to Him, and that He may renew their strength and give them life. I believe the young child represents young believers with a desire for more of Him and to experience His presence. Yep, I believe that could be a good parallel revelation there, and I also believe it's that the young child is a man child. And when I heard the word rehearsal, I felt disappointment and frustration at not knowing the actual time of the wedding and not having a watch. Well, of course, they were hoping that this was the wedding, but instead it was a rehearsal. I also felt rehearsal in this case was not biblical. One night the Lord had me search His Word to see His thoughts on the word rehearse. I found that rehearse was used in the Old Testament using four different Hebrew words and two different Greek words in the New Testament. Well, let me say that a wedding rehearsal is the bride and groom acting the part so that they will be efficient when the time comes for it to be put into, for them to be put in that position, right? It's a practice. And of course, we must do that. We must practice being the bride. We must act like the bride, or we will never come into the position of the bride. The feasts in the Bible are called holy convocations. Have you noticed? The feasts. They're called holy convocations, which means a rehearsal. You can translate it, a rehearsal. The feasts are all rehearsals for when the real comes. Right? So, yes, we have rehearsals. And we keep the rehearsals so we're ready for the real thing. Some people aren't acting like they're going to be in the bride, you know. Interesting. Well, she has some notes here which I'm going to pass on to you about the rehearsal, and they're very good. But I don't have time to finish that. So, Father, we thank you for the angels going forth to cast down this attack on the economy, that this will be successful, that it will give glory to God, that the world will sit up and take notice that you answered prayer and that you're giving favor. And we thank you for this, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, saints, for being with us today. And God be with you. Please, go forth. Spend time in prayer. You can read this again, of course, if you want. Read the dreams, if you want, and see the exhortations there. The Lord is definitely confirming that He wants us to pray about this. Okay, and if you get anything, send it to the elders' address there on the site, or to Robin, either way. And we thank you so much for doing that. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for getting your people ready. We thank you for answering prayers. Lord, many, of course, are praying for their loved ones, and they would like to see them ready to go into the wilderness. And, of course, Lord, this revival that's coming, you know, this could be just a great help in bringing in multitudes and preparing them to, you know, escape Babylonish religion and be a part of your new kingdom. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, saints. God bless you.